Welcome to the Album Nerds Podcast with your hosts, Don and Dude.
Howdy, partners. It's Album Nerds Podcast.
I'm Dude.
I've got Don with me. You ready to hit the trail?
Yeah, I'm just conspiring with JR to take over Ewing Oil. Yeah,
that's a Dallas reference, the famous nighttime soap opera of the 70s and 80s. So yes, this is the Album Nerds Podcast. We love albums, the album format, talking about them. And we're traveling this great nation on our Bands Across America tour, headed to Texas, the Lone Star State.
Things are big there.
The biggest and the best.
A big Texas-sized twister, I tell you.
We've got a great show for you. So, of course, we will each be choosing an album from an artist from Texas, digging into those. Don's going to ask us a deep question. We'll have some shout-outs to some other albums and album-related items we're digging, new releases, that kind of thing. And then we will spin the wheel of musical discovery to learn where we'll be going on the next episode. But this time, we're headed down to Texas.
Road trip! That's what I'm talking about!
Welcome to Texas, the Lone Star State, a land where legendary musical heritage, bold flavors, and a tapestry of cultures unite under a big sky. From live music pouring out of Austin's eclectic venues and historic dance halls to awe-inspiring sites like the Alamo, vast national parks, and bustling cities filled with art and history, every corner offers new adventures. Whether you're drawn by soulful country tunes, iconic blues, diverse festivals, or world-class cuisine, Texas invites you to experience its unforgettable spirit and boundless hospitality.
Well said. You ever actually been to Texas there, Don?
I was in San Antonio once for a conference. It was a cool place.
Yeah, I was in San Antonio also, going to different locations and doing trainings on our software. So yeah, it was beautiful city. The Alamo was incredibly tiny.
Yeah.
I only drove past it.
I remember I had a snow cone outside the Alamo.
There you go. All right. So music-wise, a whole lot to choose from. My first instinct was a band named Pantera, a groove metal band. But we did talk about Vulgar Display of Power not too long ago. That would have been where I wanted to explore the anger of Texas. Of course, Willie Nelson, you know, country legend, Beyonce, pop R&B superstar. George Strait, another country artist, kind of reestablished classic country in the 80s. Janis Joplin, rock legend, Selena, Tejano singer, ZZ Top, that kind of bluesy, groovy rock, thought about that. Then classics like Buddy Holly, blues rock virtuoso Stevie Ray Vaughan, Waylon Jennings, Kelly Clarkson, Dixie Chicks.
Kelly Clarkson!
Kenny Rogers, Chris Christopherson, Miranda Lambert. I mean,
yeah,
the list continues, but I don't spend the entire show with this list. So we've got our albums queued up. The tank is full. The picks are in, and Texas is ahead of us. Let's roll out with our cha-cha-cha choices.
You choose me?
Our journey to Texas takes us to St. Vincent. St. Vincent is basically the stage name for Annie Erin Clark, born in Dallas in 1982.
Why St. Vincent? I didn't look it up because I was hoping you would just tell me.
Yeah, well, apparently it's a reference to a Nick Cave song called There She Goes, My Beautiful World, which mentions Dylan Thomas dying at St. Vincent's Hospital. Also, her great-grandmother's middle name was St. Vincent. Yeah, so, I think like other artists, you know, she wanted sort of the creative freedom that comes with operating under a different name.
Right, sure.
I don't know, kind of like Dude.
I was born Dude. I had to legally change my name.
So Annie Erin Clark was born in 1982 in Dallas, Texas. She started her career with a group called Polyphonic Spree, which was, I guess they call it like choral rock. So apparently like rock music that has a chorus in it. And she was a touring guitarist for Sufjan Stevens. But anyway, she's, kind of art rocky, noise poppy sort of artist. She described this album, which by the way is her self-titled fourth album. She described this as a party record you could play at a funeral.
Okay.
So let's listen to a little bit. This is Rattlesnake, the opening cut. I So Rattlesnake was inspired by her real-life encounter with a rattlesnake while alone and naked on a friend's Texas ranch.
Wait.
Yes.
Okay. Why alone and naked? Why was the friend no longer at the ranch?
Huh. These are all good questions. Yes. You know, beyond what I have access to. So, yeah. I was not enthralled right away with this first cut. Like, the beginning...
Even though it's all, like, Kraftwerk-y?
It is. Yeah, but it kind of reminded me of... What's the Alanis Morissette song where she's like, "Do I stress you out?" At the beginning.
Yeah. I don't know the name of it either.
But yeah, so this opening cut didn't really draw me in, but as the album went on, you know, I liked it more. But now going back and hearing this cut again, I've you know, grown to appreciate it. You know, the lyrics are kind of surreal. There's themes of vulnerability and isolation. I like that kind of thing.
Any chance that there's a Garden of Eden thing here?
Anytime I hear about a serpent or something.
I'd buy it more if the ranch owner were a dude named Adam, but, you know.
Yeah. It was interesting listening to this album. Apparently, I mean, she's thought of as, you know, a really good and innovative guitarist. But, like, the guitar doesn't stand out initially unless you really listen to it because it's so digital and manipulated and stuff. You know, because sometimes it's hard to, you know, figure out that some of those digital noises actually are guitar. But if you do listen for them, they're kind of interesting.
So, I guess I wouldn't pick it out as guitar. I would just assume because of the nature of the music that it's all, you know, synthesized stuff.
Yeah.
If you know that while listening, it maybe gives you something to, you know, look for, like, you know, those things in highlights with the, you know, hidden pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's hear another cut. Here's a song called Prince Johnny.
Killer guitar solo. This is where I certainly heard some Tori Amos-ishness. Yeah. Less piano, of course, but...
Yeah, vocally some Kate Bush in there too, I think.
Yeah,
so that one's more kind of ambient and lush and, you know, there's... kind of layered vocals and ethereal synths, you know, definitely up my alley. So the lyrics center on a, you know, character that she refers to as Prince Johnny, you know, exploring themes of lost identity, searching for meaning, longing for acceptance in an urban landscape. You know, the lyrics are, you know, interesting. You know, there's religious symbolism going on in there.
With the St. Vincent thing just makes you assume there's going to be religious symbolism, whether it's, you know... It's not necessarily, here's a belief system. I think it adds to that ethereal feel when you bring up spiritual stuff. So if those lyrics help the music sound more Enya, you know, more swimmy and Enya infused religious stuff in, even though it wasn't religious music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think she does, not just on this track, but other tracks as well, you know, kind of creates sort of a dynamic space and mood with these songs. I think I expected the album to be more experimental than it is. I mean, it definitely has noises and stuff like that, but I think at the heart of it, it's still pop music and there's, you know, catchy hooks and nice melodic moments in most of these songs.
I think that's probably the best way to do it. I mean, experimentation is great, but it only really lands if you can still connect with people. If it's so experimental that there's just this little handful of people that are like, this is so weird, it's great, you know, I feel like you still want some accessibility. You still want people to feel comfortable in the songs to some degree.
Yeah, good point. Right, well, was there a cut you wanted to discuss?
Yes, the one that was played the most on Spotify, because that's how I know the good ones when I'm fairly unfamiliar with a record. So I went with Digital Witness. What's the point of even sleeping if I can't show it, you can't see me? So satirical funk pop, kind of like the Talking Heads 2.0 or maybe 3.0.
Actually, her previous album, she had worked with David Byrne.
That makes perfect sense. Yeah. A horn-laden anthem critiquing the performance of self on social media. Like, what's the point of doing anything if people aren't watching it and talking about it? And yeah, I thought it was a cool critique on that and sort of self-aware. But the jagged grooves, those kind of robotic vocals and if I can't show it, you can't see me lyric. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and I think the presentation of the song, I think, helps with that like lyrical theme. You know, it sort of feels at times kind of chaotic, like the social media world. Yeah. But I really like the horns, apparently played by somebody named Ralph Carney.
Yeah, that felt like real horns, which it turns out it was. Mm-hmm. And I think those touches of the real world kind of scrape away at the matrix that some people live in, you know, which I think this song is all about.
Well said. All right, well, let's check out the closing cut, Severed Crossed Fingers.
Spitting our guts from their gears, draining our spleen over years, find myself.
Not a lot of times you hear spleens referenced in pop music.
So I think the song is a reference, and I don't know if it was true or not, but the idea of like sifting through the wreckage of a plane crash or something and finding like severed fingers that are crossed. And so I think it's supposed to be sort of like a symbol of hope, you know, after, you know, even in something awful like that in tragedy.
Mm.
Yeah.
It's haunting for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's a good way to close things. And it does feel a little more connected. Again, it's got ethereal sounds and stuff, but it does feel more connected to real life. And because I think that's the danger of this kind of music is the disconnection, at least for me, from the analog world.
Mm-hmm.
And she does a pretty good job throughout the album of the human and the digital coexisting,
right.
You know, like a cyborg is a mix of a human and machine.
Okay. Good. I agree. You know, I think she does a good job of showing vulnerability, you know, despite also at times, I think, you know, kind of challenging you or saying outrageous things. Like in the one song, she talks about masturbation and stuff.
What?
Yeah. The second song, she's like, an ordinary day, take out the garbage, masturbate.
Oh. Oh, yeah. So like Green Day before her.
Yeah. So it's a good balance of, you know, shocking you, but also connecting with you in a human way. So, yeah, you know, I found myself quite captivated by her lyrics and her voice. Man,
I must be getting old. I missed a masturbation reference.
Okay, time to rewind and reflect on Saint Vincent. I'll begin with my clickbait headline. Annie Clark is canonized as patron saint of avant-garde pop.
Oh, damn it.
I had did you do a
patron saints in mind, too.
Sorry.
We're not that clever, are we?
Again, as I was saying before, it is, I think, a good balance of sort of noise and avant-garde with pop melody. It is accessible, you know, in a way that, you know, sometimes, you know, the artsier stuff isn't. How about you?
Yeah, overall, I liked it more than I thought I would. At first, I was like, oh, God, here we go. But those human moments, like you can feel the threads of real feeling throughout. And I really thought of it as more a collection of familiar sounds from other artists. So my clickbait headline to describe album, Saint Vincent, Digital Paranoia in 40 Minutes, Tori's Piano Chill, Burns' Brass Crunch, and Enya's Cloudy Echoes Through the Eyes of the Not Patron Saint of Texas Art Pop.
Good.
I could just say through the eyes of a saint of Texas Art Pop.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, I mean, I hear, and this is a good thing. I don't, in no way do I think this is like, am I saying ripping off or whatever. I hear Tori Amos, like I mentioned, some Katy Perry pop sensibilities, Enya's ethereal vocals and almost religious sounds. And somehow she did that with electronics, and David Byrne, of course, that influence, that sort of whole Talking Heads vibe is here. It's cohesive, it's futuristic, and at the same time, emotionally complex. Feels like a art gallery installation at times, but not in a boring way.
All right. Well, let's talk about killer to filler ratio. You know, I think almost all of it is killer. I struggle to identify, you know, tracks that, you know, particularly bug me. I like the track, Psychopath. It has a, you know, catchy hook in the middle there.
Yeah. The title kind of threw me off because I expected it to be a little more aggressive.
Yeah.
And it was kind of more, not ballady exactly, but certainly not. I thought it'd be a little more hard hitting just based on the title. And maybe because I had Psycho Killer in my head from the Talking Heads. Yeah. I mean, I liked Birth in Reverse, had that sort of sci-fi vibes. I wouldn't say that there were fillers per se, but more like question marks for me. Like Huey Newton was kind of jarring, a shift midway that kind of disrupted the momentum of the album to me. But the second half of the song got a little more interesting. It referenced like Hail Bop, Hail Mary, like cults and religion and all that stuff mixed together. The second half has some very Jagged Little Pill, Alanis Morissette vibes, not anger, but that same frustration coming through.
Yeah.
And then I like the lines like Entombed of the Shrine of Zeros and Ones, again, more digital computer references. And then Bring Me Your Loves was a little disjointed, and the robot voice stuff took me out of it a little bit. So and it was kind of March-like. So that one, again, question marks, not that they're bad, just they were moments of like kind of,
Yeah. The Bring Me Your Loves, in the middle, it kind of changes, and she does like, there's a little break with some guitar that's interesting, kind of sounds like traditional guitar, which you don't hear a lot on the record. Okay, how about the production?
It was clean, pristine even, punchy. I like the distortion, and the unexpected horns really helped ground this somewhat for me. And it works for what I think the intent of the album was that mix of the real world and the Matrix, you know?
Yeah. So the album is produced by John Congleton. And apparently, you know, it was very much like a collaborative kind of thing between he and Annie Clark. So he definitely had, I think, a lot of input on it. But yeah, you know, I think they did a good job with sort of the atmospheric depth, right, and the complexity of it. The replay value? I'm going to listen to it again because I do think there's a lot here. Like, I think there's pieces I haven't picked up yet. You know, just spending a week listening to it wasn't quite enough for me to, you know, I think to fully get it.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's medium replay value, maybe. It's so vibe dependent. It's not party music, but it's not laid back.
Right.
If you feel like thinking, because new layers emerge with every listen, it demands attention. So it can reward you, but you've got to have patience. And it's not really a background record. As a background album, at times when I was listening to it while working, it was just more distracting than than interesting.
Okay. Yeah. And then as far as legacy goes, I mean, I'm not sure yet. I mean, it came out in 2014. So, you know, I'm not sure, you know, to what
extent. Longer ago than you think,
that's,
bro.
That's true. So maybe people like, I might be getting the timing wrong, but there are, you know, some female artists out there now that are maybe pushing boundaries a little bit. Maybe she's even influencing a Taylor Swift or a Chapel Roan, you know, to
push
you know,
a little.
Yeah, get a little more arty.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a like a more, a brainy avant-garde side of Texas. I would certainly not ever hear this and go, that's Texas for you.
Yeah.
But, you know, certainly fewer tumbleweeds and more high concept art, rock, electro pop, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, maybe she has a bit of a Texas attitude.
Perhaps.
Yeah. All right, well, St. Vincent's self-titled album remains a boundary-pushing statement of artistic identity and sonic innovation, fusing personal roots and fearless imagination into a timeless work that continues to inspire and challenge the music world. Check it out.
Excuse me. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
And I'm going to ask you some questions. Here's a deep question by Don. So, you know, I think St. Vincent is a cultural treasure from Texas. What other cool things and cool treasures come from Texas?
Well, Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Actor and walking Texas vibe, you know?
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Like that guy, his laid back cool, his reserved bravado is so like, it's that cowboy spirit of what I picture, you know, that like, I'm not afraid of anything kind of Texas vibe. He just, he represents well.
And Dazed and Confused was set in Texas, right?
Correct. Supposedly. Yes. Yeah. And additionally, as I have gotten older, I've had to take some steps to stay healthy and limber. And I started doing yoga a few years ago at home, and yoga with Adrienne. She's is from Austin, Texas, And it's lots of content. You can find it on YouTube. Lots of different levels of beginner. And if your back is bothering you, you can do special yogas for that. She's got so much stuff, and she just has this great welcoming personality that if you can get through like a week or two of doing it, you're hooked. And she just has a really great presentation and doesn't make you feel bad for not being able to do certain moves and stuff. It's a good entry point, and I recommend it highly. And thank you, Texas.
I think doing some of those moves might be hard in cowboy boots. That's what I'm picturing.
Now the spurs help to keep your feet down during downward dog.
All right, well, I'm going to get right to food.
Me want food!
Well, apparently Fritos, right, some unique corn chip, came from Texas. I've never been a huge fan of Fritos.
What? What about the scoops? The Fritos scoops?
Yeah, I mean, they're fine, but they're just not my favorite. Have you ever had one of those walking tacos?
No, I've read about it though. You like eat out of a Mylar bag. That doesn't sound like a very healthy thing.
Yeah, you're eating out of the Fritos bag, and you just put all the stuff on top of it. I think those might have originated in Texas, but there's debate over that.
My wife's family has a recipe that they make called Frito Dinner, which is like rice and beef and stuff, and you serve it on Fritos. It's good.
See, that sounds good. I think I like Fritos as a supplement to a dish. And then Dr. Pepper also came from Texas.
Now, where's Mr. Pibb from? Probably New York City.
New York City!
Yeah, Dr. Pepper is an interesting one because I kind of forget about it sometimes, but I think it's delicious.
Oh, yeah. I grew up with that being my absolute favorite whenever I could get my hands on it. Usually, it was a generic version like Professor Salt or something, you know. But
yeah. Yeah. And didn't Forrest Gump drink a bunch of them?
Yep.
Yeah.
15 Dr. Peppers.
I believe he said he had to pee. Well, what's your favorite thing from Texas? Let us know. Hit us on the socials like Instagram and Facebook at Album Nerds.
So on my trip to Texas, I had to travel with Ryan Bingham, or Ryan Bingham. George Ryan Bingham is an American singer and guitarist whose music spans outlaw country, Americana, rock, among other things. Also an actor, best known as the character Walker on Yellowstone.
Is that a big character?
He's pretty integral to the plot. I didn't watch Yellowstone until it had been on for a couple of years. And so when he shows up, I'm like, oh my God, Ryan Bingham, what are you doing there? Walker does do some singing on the show, so you get a taste of Ryan's music. So his background, his father worked the oil fields, his mother and father struggled with addiction, and family moved frequently. He was born in New Mexico, but raised in Texas. He was a rodeo rider through his teens, and then his 2007 debut, Mescalito, earned critical acclaim, drawing comparisons to Steve Earle, who we didn't mention at the top from Texas. I thought about doing one of his albums. 2010, it really looked like the stars were shining bright. He won an Oscar and Golden Globe and Grammy for The Weary Kind from Crazy Heart, that movie with Jeff Bridges playing the country singer. That song was written by Ryan Bingham.
Yeah, I remember that song.
But he didn't do any big, like, fancy, flashy collaborations. He decided to kind of stay independent and do things his own way, which I really appreciate. And here's an example. His 2015 album, Fear and Saturday Night, produced in collaboration with Jim Scott, who's known for his work with artists like Wilco and Tom Petty. Bingham wrote all 12 tracks while isolating himself in an Airstream trailer in the California mountains, which I love, devoid of electricity or cell service, so they say. So this solitude was crucial for him to process some profound drama stemming from the deaths of his parents, subsequent dissolution of his band, the Dead Horses, great band name. But this album is a blend of diverse musical influences, twangy country melodies, gritty 70s rock riffs, and vibrant rhythms of even Zydeco makes it in there. Why don't we start off with the opening track, Nobody Knows My Trouble.
Too long for the pills in the bottom of a bottle to dig a deep grave with the shovel and bury everything that a young boy needs, but I found me a guitar.
You know it's Texas when you find a guitar.
Yeah. The song has such a familiar melody, but I don't know, I can't place it.
It's just got that kind of Texas two-step sort of vibe to it, whatever that is. No, but it has that, it does have that familiar cowboy and kind of thing to it.
Yeah. I can picture kindergartners like singing along to it or something.
Oh, yeah.
It's like that catchy.
The pills in the bottle.
Yeah. The paste and the scissors.
There you go. I gotta use the safety scissors. Those rounded ones. But the song is like a cowboy from New Mexico seeking a fresh start in a new city and still carrying all these past burdens. But that gritty vocal, like I've never heard anyone grittier. More consistently gritty than Ryan Bingham.
Right. It's a good kind of gritty. It's not like Tom Waits gritty. That's just like, you know, just so.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a monster.
Right. Yeah. This still has a, you know, a sweet, you know, he can carry a melodic line and, you know, it's good.
It's a vulnerable grit.
Yeah. Yeah. What can I say about it? I mean, I love this kind of sound, you know, it's just so well executed, you know, really, you know, captures that kind of country spirit and blues spirit, but again, also, you know, very melodic and, you know, you want to sing along to it. Seems like the kind of song you could just keep adding your own lyrics to.
Mm-hmm.
We all got troubles.
Yeah, I think some of us are blessed with troubles, not quite as deep as Ryan had to face. And then
yes.
This vulnerability, this opening up, it really is a great way to start an album. This was the first album of his I heard all the way through, and I heard it once and I bought it on vinyl immediately.
Nice.
Because that song, I was just like, holy shit, this is, the wounds are going to be opened on this record. I can't wait. But why don't we jump into another track? This one was the first single and a little more radio friendly, perhaps. It's called Radio.
Bad dreams, sad memories keep a playing on my radio.
So as we established, these songs were all written by Ryan Bingham. This one was co-produced with Jim Scott. A recording palette that's kind of, it favors vintage tones. There's some real analog warmth. Maybe it's that whole idea of radio,
mm-hmm.
but it does reflect the album's blend of Americana, rock, and roots grit, I guess. So, like, musically, I love the band that supports this sound, where it's not just the acoustic in the country, but the other moments. Some members of Rose Hill Drive, who I actually mentioned a few episodes back, they were kind of a blues rock band. Some of those members got assembled for this. And yeah, but it's the slide guitar, the harmonica, it really works well. And that little breakdown in the towards the end where the tempo picks up,
mm-hmm.
that always is a fun moment in the song. What were your thoughts of the Bad Dreams and Sad Memories playing in his radio?
Well, I mean, it really has a live feel. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like almost this whole record, it feels like it was just, you know, done in a couple of takes. Yeah, you know, really captures a raw feel. And there's a little bit of slide guitar in that song, if you listen. Yeah, it's another good one. I like that the quieter songs and the louder songs blend together. I think sometimes when you listen to an album, all of a sudden there's a ballad and it doesn't quite fit in with the rest of what's going on. And all of this, you know, just goes right into each other.
Yeah. What do you think of that metaphor of the radio representing that internal stream of thoughts and memories that, you know, you can change, you can turn the dial and, you know, but you're still stuck with whatever is there.
Yeah.
And trying to push that away and live in the moment, you know, live the life in front of you and try and ignore that radio.
Yeah. That's, I thought we were out of metaphors, but, you know, he came up with a good one.
Yeah. So, you were new to this, right? Did you ever listen to him at all?
Nope. He was new to me. Yeah. Another cut. I think it's the second song on the record, Broken Heart Tattoos, caught my ear. Let's check it out.
With broken heart tattoos.
I wanted to get some of that in there.
Looking for the Bob Dylan moments.
Yeah. Yeah, well, anytime I hear harmonica tones like that, I think of either Bob Dylan or Neil Young. And that, you know, there are elements of that song, I think, that, you know, remind me of both. Another one that's just very catchy, but also, you know, that little instrumental refrain there is just very powerful, sort of melancholy. Yeah, it just, it sounds really good. You know, Broken Heart Tattoos, another metaphor, I guess.
Another good one, yeah.
Yeah, as you're, every time your heart gets broken, you know, it's sort of left there permanently on your body or on your skin.
Or in your heart.
Yes. So, yeah, themes of perseverance and vulnerability. You know, again, I mean, this is sort of the theme, you know, throughout the record, you know, overcoming your troubles or keep going.
Find happiness. Yeah.
Yeah. Another one that feels pretty live as well.
Yeah. I mean, the opening line on it. So it's kind of like to his newborn or unborn child, I think is what I read. You know, at least he was thinking about that. The first lines, you're unborn and yet to be scarred with tattoos, the blood in your arm, hell, it's good and it's warm and it's still free to choose. Yeah. You know, like, I think to some degree, you know, people who have had trouble, when they have kids, there's that, like, that moment of, hey, you get to start fresh and I can be there with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't want that to happen to your child. All right. So it's time for the closing track. Let's listen to a little bit of Gunfighting Man.
6 foot underneath a no man's land. He was a gunfighting man.
This is a pretty bleak closer in some ways. You know, I wondered if perhaps there was any thoughts of his father who had committed suicide for this closing track, with the opening track having the addiction stuff and his past with his family. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm stretching. But there's this recurring verse about the devil, a gun in a dead man's hand. And I read somewhere that Ryan Bingham himself said that he's always loved those old gunfighter movies and shows like Gunsmoke, and wanted to record a song like that, but he didn't want to give, you know, send out the wrong message about gun violence. Mm-hmm. It's just grown up on ranches and always having guns be a part of the, you know, culture and things. Yeah. and necessity to some regard. What were your thoughts on this closer?
Yeah, it definitely has more of the outlaw vibe than the rest of the album. But yeah, I think it's an effective closer. You know, we don't really get a break from the darkness.
No.
But even the song has kind of a catchy melody in there that you know, keeps you engaged and maybe provides a little bit of hope.
Yeah, and a little bit of that live by the sword, die by the sword, your choices are yours, and take the consequences that come, which, again, a little dark. So, yeah, I mean, we've gone through these four tracks. Why don't we sit back, reflect, and rewind on the album as a whole? I think we should mention the fact that we did pick two more modern artists from Texas instead of going, you know, delving into the classics. I think it's important because Texas lives on. Those traditions live on even in today's music. Yeah. And it's not always only shown through, you know, your Willie Nelsons and Kris Kristofferson's.
Absolutely.
But overall vibe, I'll start off with my clickbait headline to describe the album. From West Texas Rodeo to California Airstream, Fear and Saturday Night took a whiskey thick voice and created a breakthrough Americana prayer.
I like that idea of it being a prayer.
Yeah, there's definitely some soulful pleading through here to move past some things and embrace this new life. And overall, he nails that. I mean, it's so emotional, but there's also musically and even lyrically fun moments, even in the darkness. But there's no one song that's fun. They all have moments of light.
Yeah, right. Well, I'll give you my clickbait headline. Bingham's Americana is your prescription for a top shelf drug. Yeah. Of course, that's one of the songs on the album, Top Shelf Drug. I like this sound anyway. Like, I like the Americana stuff. Mm-hmm. I like the outlaw vibe. But, you know, I mean, sometimes the albums as a whole can get a little tired, you know, 40 to 50 minutes in. And somehow I think this album, you know, managed to, you know, keep me interested the whole time. It's just so well executed.
Yeah.
I think there's just so many, you know, good melodies mixed in and the, you know, the dark. For some reason, you know, he's not playing a character.
No.
I don't think. Like, and I think some of these outlaw guys are kind of being characters.
Well, at least sometimes there's more of a outside storytelling thing, like maybe for your Johnny Cashes, where it's about I'm in prison or I murdered someone or whatever. This doesn't get into fictional character studies or stories, really. Yeah. Killer to filler ratio, that's a, you know, a tough one here when everything is good. Some of my favorites are the song that Don mentioned, Top Shelf Drug. It's kind of edgy. comparing love to addiction, right? but it captures the push and pull of a toxic relationship that you can't walk away from. Can't get you out of my head, you know? Mm-hmm. Island in the Sky. I love the way that the song ascends up into the sky, but I love the feel of it. It's uplifting even in the darkness. Any songs stick out for you?
Yeah, I mean, the title cut, Fear and Saturday Night, you know, is great. My Diamond is Too Rough is another really good one. I mean, they're all good and they all fit the theme. It's just, you know, it's like picking your favorite song from The Dark Side of the Moon. It's
right.
It's tough.
So Adventures of You and Me, that Zydeco kind of, there's like more than once there's accordion on this record. Yeah. And it's like a bar jam.
Yeah, I like it.
But yeah, it's adventures of memories from a friend or lover of, you know, traveling the countryside. And then Snow Falls in June is I guess was written about his wife at the time. Sort of, you know, these beautiful moments that happen at unexpected times, you know.
At first, I didn't know he was saying in June because it sounded like engine.
Some Snow Falls engine. What did you think of the production here? Did it support Ryan?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the idea that he was writing and recording it in an Airstream or something is cool. I mean, it doesn't quite sound like that. I mean, it is very clean.
Yeah.
It's mixed well, you know, so it's not so raw that it's muddy and stuff. It's very clean and clear, but it works. Yeah. I think it's the right balance of kind of live energy
and analog sounding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Replayability for me, super high. I mean, I've loved this album since it came out. Like I said, there's some fun moments sprinkled in, and the emotional honesty is what gives it lasting depth and connectability, where you can just like click with this human to human.
Yeah, I think it's good for most occasions because it's not just mellow, right? I mean, there's a lot of kind of edgier, rockier tunes as well.
So. Yeah, it sounds like outlaw country. To anyone not listening to the words, it still has a nice kind of galloping outlaw country vibe. So yeah, I think you're right. It works for any occasion. Next playlist you make for some block party or whatever, you can put some Bingham on.
All right. Definitely.
So legacy wise, I mean, it might've been written in California, but his Texas DNA is all over this thing, from the rodeo circuit realism to the weathered Americana storytelling. He really does bring emotion and sonic textures of West Texas to life. And to me, it's a modern classic in the Americana canon, a very strong entry in the world of outlaw country that has something to say, not that's just outlaw for the sake of it.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, at some point we'll have to do a show just of like these guys. Cause like, particularly like in the last decade or so, I mean, that's really where you're getting a lot of these kind of Americana outlaw guys.
There's so many in Texas too. I mean, we didn't mention Cody Jenks, which we talked about last week briefly on the Diggin' section. There's a super group called the Panhandlers that they're all from West Texas, and they have their own solo careers and bands and stuff. There's so much in that space coming from Texas and that whole red dirt, you know, thing. There's so much.
Yeah. And I hope records like these, you know, continue to maybe push sort of the commercial country music or country radio into more of the Americana direction.
Yeah. Would like to see more. Yeah. It's a raw, road-worn journey through heartache, healing, and honky-tonk soul. Fear and Saturday Night delivers Ryan Bingham's Texas grit with a poet's heart. Mm-hmm. Check it out.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Well, we've been digging diverse music from the great state of Texas. This week, did you have a chance to dig anything else?
It was tough. What I did come across, and I don't remember how, might have been Instagram or something. I'm not sure. This band called Lifeguard and their album Ripped and Torn.
Is it a tribute to Ripped Torn?
I don't think these are young kids. They have no idea who Ripped Torn is.
Dodge, duck, dip, dive, and dodge.
So their Chicago trio formed in 2019, featuring Asher Case on bass and vocals, Isaac Lowenstein on drums, and Kai Slater on guitar and vocals. They're kind of known for their improvisational intensity, garage sound, post-punk, experimental rock. This album was just released June 6, 2025. Let's listen to a little bit of How to Say Desire. It's spelled weird, but I think it's Desire.
Yeah, say, say!
So, yeah, 31 minutes, 12 songs, Jagged Danceable Punk, some other good tracks, A Tight Wire, It Will Get Worse, but Loud Quiet Dynamics, yeah. You know the drill, but these kids have captured it well.
I was thinking Fontaine's DC for a bit, and then it got, you know, a bit harder, a little rougher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a fun listen. I got through it maybe 5 or 6 times, but I intend to listen some more. Then, of course, I'm always trying to dig on something in my collection, and I finally got myself a copy on vinyl of Dio's Holy Diver.
Oh, yeah.
Released May 25th, 1983. My copy is a European reissue from a few years ago. It's not an original or anything like that. Let's listen to a little bit of the title track, Holy Diver. Holy Diver, you've been down too long in the midnight sea. Oh, Holy Diver. So after Ronnie James Dio departed Black Sabbath, he formed this band with drummer Vinny Appice, Jimmy Bain, and young guitarist Vivian Campbell, who ended up being the guitarist for Def Leppard for decades, still is. Yeah, so Stand Up and Shout, Holy Diver, Rainbow in the Dark, Don't Talk to Strangers, all that operatic vocalization of Ronnie James Dio. And it's just a fun, classic, early metal album that I think everyone should listen to that has any interest in those genres. So what you digging on there, Don Stance?
Well, a band called The Armed, who I wasn't familiar with. Apparently, they're a Detroit-based, I guess, anonymous hardcore punk collective.
Okay. Well, you had to outdo me. I'm giving out names, and you have to have anonymous.
Yeah, but their pictures are everywhere, so they're not that anonymous.
Maybe they're AI generated.
That could be. Maybe. I didn't look that far into it. Anyway, so they have a recent album called The Future Is Here and Everything Needs to Be Destroyed. Blends hardcore, extreme metal, and experimental sounds. Here's a song that's a bit more melodic. It's called Sharp Teeth. Yeah, that doesn't sound very hardcore, but you know, if you keep listening, eventually you'll get one of those guttural screams that Andy used to like so much. Yeah.
Well, does the sharp teeth at least help sell that it could be dangerous?
Yeah. And then another artist I've been introduced to recently is Tom O'Dell.
We'll leave the light on for you.
Yeah. I think that's Tom Baudet or something.
Yeah. Close enough.
It's close, yeah. Tom O'Dell's an English singer-songwriter. He has a new album coming out September 5th called A Wonderful Life. He's kind of acclaimed for emotional piano pop. Mm. So here's a song called Don't Let Me Go.
Coldplay-ish feelings.
Yeah, there's good. Some good despair and hope on this record, I think.
Yeah, I'll check that one out for sure.
Cool. So what are you digging? Let us know. Join us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky. Also, don't forget to dig on some other music podcasts, like Music Notes with Jess. It's your weekly guide for what's trending in music. Our friend Jess breaks down the latest hits, artist stories, and must-hear tracks with insider insight and infectious enthusiasm.
Indeed.
It will be a discovery of extraordinary value.
Well, here we are. It's about time on the show when I'm reminded of the words of former President George W. Bush, who said, "Some folks look at me and see a certain swagger, which in Texas is called walking."
Love it.
I do too. That's awesome. So. With that in mind, let's bring out the wheel of musical discovery to see what great state we'll be visiting on the next episode.
Next stop on our Bands Across America tour, Pennsylvania. From gritty hip-hop innovators to soaring alternative rock, you'll be diving into albums that showcase the diverse, hard-working, and proudly distinctive sound of the Keystone State.
Pennsylvania.
The Keystone State.
What does that even mean?
Bottled beer in a can.
Ah, yes. Keystone. Yeah, so that should be cool. I mean, Pennsylvania is a interesting state because it's on the line between the, in my mind, between the Northeast and the Midwest. It's kind of a little of both. So yeah, there's some very interesting artists to explore.
You've got Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and then you got the more rural stuff, Pennsylvania. All right, well, what's your favorite record from Pennsylvania? What else are you listening to? Email us at podcast@albumnerds.com or follow us on Instagram and other social media at Album Nerds. And visit albumnerds.com to listen to all 302 episodes. And the best way to support the show is to share it. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
Thank you, as always, for joining us here on the Album Nerds podcast. We'll catch you next time in Pennsylvania.
Because all my exes live in Texas.
Okay. That's it?
That's...
And you're not going to sing about the podcast at all?
I mean,
wow.
Yeah, I couldn't come up with a tie to that. Andy doesn't live in Texas.
No. He's... We're still friends, so...
Bye, y'all.
See you in Pennsylvania.